Well, it's another episode of Guitar Ramblings with Richard and Blake.
Boy, I tell you guys, I'm getting tired. You know what I could use? A break.
A break?
A break.
What?
Like a Kit Kat? Like a Kit Kat break?
A little longer than that. I need a little break. I'm just so exhausted.
Give me a break. Give me a break.
A Twix.
Take me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
This is going to be the second day in a row that I'm doing 3 to 4 hours of podcasting a day. This is a lot of blabbering for me.
It's a lot of talking, my dude.
Mm-hmm. Then I got to spend the rest of the time talking to Scott about problematic dealers. But that's, you know, part of the course.
Welcome to the world of musical instrument corporations.
Yep. You know about that, right? How many hours a day do you discuss problematic dealers?
Yeah, these days, like zero. But back in the day, pre-boutique amps, about 70%.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. It wasn't always problematic dealers, but it was always problems of some sort. But
no, it's not always dealers. I'm exaggerating, but it, more often than I would like it to be, it is.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing. It really is. I mean, sounds all fine and dandy making gear for a living of some sort, but just like any job, there's parts of it you're like, oh God, they sucked.
It doesn't
bad.
Matter what you do for a living. I would never choose to do anything else. I love this, but nothing is ever as perfect as what people imagine that it is. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're a famous actor, big rock star, nothing's perfect. There's always some stupid part of it.
And I get it a bit on social media where, you know, people like want to come hang out at the factory, you know, because it's kind of glamorized, you know.
Send them to the UK warehouse. I'll look after them. AKA the Harmony Hut.
I mean, like, the Harmony Hut.
You know, if you like looking at JJS, obviously, the obvious example of what looks like a very fun environment to work in. But there's days that it's business, a lot of days that it's just business. It's not always the JHS show every day around there, you know?
Right. Well, it's kind of...
But I mean, that's any company, not a slam against JHS.
No, it's everywhere. Similarly, like people are like, can we stop by and check out the manufacturing operation? And like sometimes we are really excited to be able to do that because it's something that most people have never seen before. But sometimes it's like, I really wish I could say yes, but I literally have no time today to let you do that. Like
that's the hard part. Yeah. Usually there's so much going on. Like, I just don't know how I could take out an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And just, you know,
I want to, and sometimes you can, but yeah. I mean, I'm speaking more from Scott's perspective than my own, obviously.
Do you think people think that guitar companies are run like high tech companies? You know, like Google famously has like slides that go between floors. I think at Twitter they've got like a revolving door, a pit of death.
I think there's just a steep edge that they shove people off. You know, fired.
I mean, every time I talk to someone at our factory, I can hear somebody else jamming in the background. I'm like, that is the office I want to go and work at, right? Because every time I ring them, somebody is noodling Freebird in the background somewhere.
Well, that's part of the testing procedures. You can't test guitar gear and not have a guitar player.
Did you say Freebird?
I may have done.
No. I
would like to kick off this episode with a little haiku that I've just written this very second about how I'm happy to record with you both. So, to record with Brian and Blake today. Music fills the air. Thank you.
That's beautiful. That's much nicer than I thought it was going to be.
I can switch it up. I can give you my introduction in Shakespearean rhyming couplets, or the opening paragraph to a Stephen King novel about a killer guitar pedal. You choose. My chat GPT.
I like the Stephen King option.
It's actually pretty good. So Brian and I have been playing with this AI chat GPT thing. Have you played with it yet, Blake?
I have not.
It's insanely good. I asked it to write me a song about Brian and his goat farm, and without any other information, it included lines about him drinking a cup of coffee in the morning. It's uncannily good.
But so what is it pulling from? Is it just prompt
everything,
based?
well, it's everything before 2021. It can't search the internet, so it only knows life before 2021. So, for example, it still thinks Elon Musk is a good guy.
What do you mean? It can't search the internet, but it
can't
knows,
search the internet.
But it no, knows
not yet.
Life
not yet
before 2021.
I mean, I don't know how they've done it. Maybe they've given it a version of the internet archive and capped it off or something. But it just cannot look at current events, but it can look at historic events, and it can come up. It's brilliant at coding. Like if you say to it, I said to it, write me a piece of CSS that makes websites go all wobbly. You know, that is a very generic statement. And it wrote me a bit of CSS that would rotate a screen by like 15 degrees and then back again multiple times. I'm like, that's so clever.
So I had it just, I wanted to see what it would do. I told it to write some code in C++ that would mimic the behavior of a non-inverting op amp with soft clipping diodes, 1N4148s, with a low pass filter before, after that, set at 723 hertz. I basically described a tube screamer. And then I made it code that.
What did you do with that
code? The game has changed for digital guitar pedals. It is like, this is just like beta, right? This is just using it and people to try to make it better. So imagine when it's actually live and you pay for it. It's just anybody can literally create effects at that point.
This is another pivot point for the internet, I think.
Oh, man.
This is going to be as big as Google was for search engines back in 1999. You know, that completely changed how we search for information.
Totally.
This will also do the same. But it can also write a damn good song. Although, I've noticed nearly all of them, you have to be very specific. Otherwise, it's just going to be G, C, and D every single song.
Wait, isn't that... That's all of the songs, right, though?
Oh, yeah. You make a very good point. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you the opening. I'll give you the opening paragraph to my Stephen King novel about a killer guitar pedal, as yet untitled. The sky was dark and stormy, matching the mood of the small town below. Lightning cracked and illuminated the dirt road leading up to the old, dilapidated music shop. Inside, a lone figure called Brian fiddled with a guitar pedal, his eyes glowing with madness. The pedal was unlike any other. It was rumored to have the power to create the most ear-shattering, bone-chilling sounds imaginable. And for the man holding it, it was the perfect weapon. I mean...
What? Are you serious?
Yes.
It wrote that.
It is that good. Yes.
Dude, I don't like that.
How about this? Geoffrey Chaucer's version of Hotel California. In a land of sunshine and golden shore, there stood a grand and wondrous inn where travellers could rest and be fed and enjoy the comforts that awaited within. The Hotel California was its name, and its reputation was without a blame, for there was no finer place to stay in all the land, they would say.
That's so crazy. Hold on.
But there was a catch, as some would find, for once you checked in, you could not leave behind.
It's amazing.
That's wild. That's kind of creepy.
It is kind of creepy. It doesn't always hit home. So I said, tell me a joke involving a goat and a Wampler guitar pedal. I mean, I'll see how much you guys laugh at the punchline. Why did the goat buy a Wampler guitar pedal?
Why?
Because it wanted to make some really goaty sounds.
I mean,
Why did the electric guitar go to the doctor?
I don't know.
Because it needed a little pickup.
It came up with that?
It came up with that. But then they got worse. Why was the electric guitar so good at math? Because it had a lot of pickups. I mean, that makes no sense.
All right, that one didn't work.
Why does an electric guitar go to the beach? To get a little amplitude. I mean, it makes no sense at all.
I'm not following that one.
But this is my favorite. This is the best joke I've ever heard. This is like it was written by a 5-year-old. Why was the electric guitar so good at poker? because it had lots of face-melting solos.
Oh, jeez.
That is exactly something my kid would say.
Wow.
Huh.
Very clever, Blake.
But that Stephen King one was... Wow. Like, that's... It's scary and not in the way that it's intending. That's kind of frightening.
So literally, while you guys were talking, I've got to read this. So I wrote, write a funny paragraph about how guitar pedals, overdrive pedals work electronically using goats. And it just spit this out. Guitar overdrives are a bit of a mystery, even to the most seasoned musicians. But fear not, I've uncovered the secret of how these pedals work. Turns out that inside each pedal, there's a tiny goat that's frantically headbutting a miniature amplifier. This creates the classic overdriven guitar sound that we all know and love. So the next time you use an overdrive pedal, just think of that little goat inside busting its head to make your guitar rock.
I mean, I'm not being funny, Bri, but that needs to be the intro copy to every single pedal we make now.
This is ad. That's what I'm like. I my mind has been blown for a week, and every time I'm like, I'm so frantically excited to family members and well, not you guys, but other friends, and they're like, I don't get it. I'm like, this is a whole new game. Like,
it really is.
This
how
is
about
like,
how about another Brick in the Wall Part 2 in the style of NWA? We don't need no education. All we need is some good beats and rhymes. We don't need no thoughts control. Just let us flow and we'll be just fine. It's just... We're the kids from the hood and we don't play. We'll tear down these walls brick by brick and we'll keep on rapping day and night. Doesn't really scan or rhyme, but who cares?
You could tell it to rewrite that, though, to make it rhyme.
And again, with the songwriting, I said, give me a chord sequence in... the style of The Cure and New Order, and it gave me the right chords, and it told me why they were good chords. It was like, it will resolve on this, and here's a variation. And then I found by saying, now give me a chord sequence in this key, but I want it to have a bridge, and I want it to have a key change. It wrote an actually brilliant chord sequence for me. And I'm thinking, I no longer have to learn music theory. I just need to know what I don't know. Because if you know what you don't know, the AI can tell you all.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, I did a deep dive about quantum physics with it last night. I mean, of course, I told it to explain it to me like I was one. Seriously. And then I started getting an argument. I'm like, babies can't talk, you know? They can't comprehend this.
Wait, the point where it says, I'm not going to do that, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave. Then you panic. That's when you panic, Brian. This is fascinating stuff, though. You've got to check it out, Blake.
Richard, I'm afraid I can't do that. Comes through the speakers vocally.
Yeah. But we're so close now to Skynet, Terminator. It's happening. We're going to be visited by Austrian bodybuilders from the future. It's amazing.
Or maybe that's just my fantasy. Happened after he did that, right? You know,
basically
he shoots you with a shotgun. Are you sure that's what you want to happen?
Bring it on, Arnie. I know your weak points. I'm not sure I do, actually. But Elon Musk does. Well, that's my last Elon Musk joke.
Why do you keep bringing that? You're really on this train right now.
Oh, he's gone insane, though, hasn't he? Oh, and by the way, we are out of the World Cup. I know you care very much about football.
Aww.
We lost 2-1 to France in the quarterfinal. We had a penalty kick. We had two penalty kicks and we missed the second one. We could have drawn and taken it to extra time, but we failed because we're England and we're not as good at football as we think we are. Just going to let you know. I can't argue with that.
That couldn't have been better timing. That was great.
For once, you got that one spot on, Brian. I'll give you that.
Perfect.
You've been working on your keystrokes.
Yeah, I've been practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh yeah, so I have no seriously as far as ChatGPT, man, I've learned more about coding just by asking it questions.
But Brian, you can't code.
I
this
couldn't.
Is dangerous.
See, that's the thing. As of last week I was a dummy in regarding that stuff. You know, that's what I had my engineers for, to ask them questions. So I just started asking ChatGPT, and then I started downloading the software to start coding a few days later.
Brian,
this explains things like incredibly well.
You do know if you say to the ChatGPT, when's our new Tube Screamer pedal going to be ready? It isn't going to answer you as well as our own engineers will. You know that.
That is true. Yeah, that is okay. True.
Right, as long as you know that.
But I can say, you know, like a particular string in a piece of code, I could say, how does that work and why does it work that way? You know, and then when it answers, then I can ask it follow-up questions to it and just really dive it, like dig down deep and have it explain it in a way that a dummy like me can understand. You know, like I can say, that's too many big words on that one. Dumb it down for a two-year-old.
It won't let me in. It says ChatGPT is at capacity right now.
Yeah, it's.
That's because I've just got it to write me comfortably numb in the style of Brad Paisley.
Yes.
I'm using all of its processing power here. It's so good.
I had to write a song in the style of Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places about guitar pedals, actually.
I asked it to write me an introduction for the Chasing Tone podcast using Shakespearean rhyming couplets. It's frighteningly good at it. It's so good. Yeah, we're all out of jobs, basically. my next job is going to be search engine inputter. I'm just going to go to ChatGPT and input queries input it. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you sure that any AI could actually come up with the level of stupidity that we do on this podcast? What do you think?
I think if it studies us enough, it probably can predict what we're going to say with a lot of accuracy.
Oh, that's true. I don't like that.
I mean, if you think about it, everything we put on the internet, including this podcast, is just data. So in theory, it's machine learning, right? So it could just grab all those audio files, not translate them, but put them into a text format that it can understand, right? And then just start generating content from that. Like
it's so powerful.
It's the beginning of a new realm, like the end of the information economy, beginning of the curation economy.
Wow. I mean, that's thesis level titling there. I said, is it possible to be more stupider than I currently am, said Blake. Make this into a poem. And it said, is it possible, Blake asked with a frown, to be more stupider than I am right now? I can't seem to focus. My mind is a blur. My thoughts are all jumbled like a tangled up slur. I can't find the answers no matter how hard I try. My brain feels like mush. I can't even multiply. Is it possible, Blake asked with despair, to sink even lower, to become even more impaired? I mean, it's just comedy gold. It is brilliant.
I don't like this. Ugh.
It is worrying.
I mean, I think this is, if we thought we saw a lot of content in the past, like this is just the Pandora's box into like a billion times more content.
Yeah, I can
say write a YouTube script about these three things with these details, and there it is.
I made a bad parental decision, Bri. I may have told my daughter, who is currently at university where they have to write essays, that hey, this thing can write essays for you.
Non-plagiarized essays, yeah, original content essays. Yes.
Wow. So are we going to use it to write all of our blogs next year, Bri?
I think from now on, this is every email should be ran through ChatGPT. Every blog post, everything we do regarding content, it just needs to be ChatGPT. No, I'm kidding, of course.
So here's a question.
But I think it's going to play it's going to be a tool for sure.
I think this absolutely is going to change the game entirely, especially when one does get access to the internet. Then it's over. It's game over at that point. Mm-hmm. So
I'm trying my hardest not to make a joke about the fact that Brian used the word tool. I'm just doing my best.
Oh my God. I didn't even think of it that way. I literally was thinking like a hammer. You know, this is our hammer, ChatGPT.
Yeah, all right there, Bri.
But do you think there will be, once this kind of proliferates and like it becomes the new norm, that AI will generate I think people already don't realize how much content is generated by AI already on the internet.
Yeah.
But like so many blog posts are, like you can tell sometimes, mm-hmm. but there's a ton of content that's already AI generated. But when it becomes the norm, when it becomes like, yes, most content is AI generated, do you think there will be a market much like boutique guitar effects, you know, in mm-hmm. some ways, for like, no, these are made by hand, by a real person. This is actually something that somebody sat down and thought about and wrote themselves. Do you think, much like handmade boutique guitar effects, there will be a market for that? I kind of think there will be.
I was going to say, honestly, I think, yeah, that's when the resurgence of an actual hand-built boutique guitar pedal comes back into play. When mm-hmm. people are sick of things that are generated by computers, so, you know, quote unquote, that they're like, no, I want the thing that someone actually made a mistake on.
Yep.
You know, I want mm-hmm. the imperfect thing that you created without the use of any sort of technology. Mm-hmm. And that's when you'll get, you know, another boost pedal or whatever. I'm kidding.
No, but again, I see what you did there. Going back to kind of what Warren was talking about, it's the imperfections. It's the, you know, it's the slight lag that actually makes things brilliant. And that's very true. Yeah, that's very mm-hmm. true in the world of guitar effects.
Oh, man.
There's no doubt that, you know, if one guy didn't go, oh, wait a minute. No, actually, that sounds pretty cool, that we wouldn't have half the pedals today. They weren't supposed to sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny because we've went so far in the recording world, right, where things can be just perfect and pristine, that we now have plugins that emulate the lo-fi nature of old
warbler
things. We're like, man, this sounds too clean. Better put some messed up tape on there.
Right, right. Man, this 1962 effect to,
I just did it last night. I was like, oh, this sounds too clean. Ah, I know. This Mellotron will sound better on here.
Mm-hmm.
And it
can't beat a Mellotron. Mm-hmm. I think the Mellotron had like an 8-second period before it went out of tune, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. This one is, it's not technically a Mellotron. It's like, it's Arteria emulating the tape effect, and you can select how mechanically worn it gets and like how warbly it gets. And it's actually really cool. It sounds stupid, but it's awesome.
I like the sound of it. I've got to bring up the Mandela effects that Brian's been suffering though, because I don't know what happened to Brian last week. I'm guessing he found some mushrooms, but something caused him
portobellos
I was thinking shiitake. But as bright, firstly, sweet dreams are made of this.
Well, some would say it's sweet dreams are made of these.
Would they?
Hmm?
Well,
according to the internet, I mean, I'm just pulling it from the internet for new Mandela effects 2022.
Wait, what?
But that makes
it's
no
not
sense.
Sweet dreams are made of these.
No, but that makes no sense.
Sweet dreams are made of this.
Think about it.
You're right. Yeah, you're right, Richard. But I mean, and that's what people have said for you, at least in the past, that sweet dreams are made of these doesn't really make sense, but that's how I remember it.
These other sweet dreams?
Right.
Makes no sense.
Right.
But the substance, this.
But it was the 80s, sense. So, you know. Yeah,
this is true.
That's right.
This is true. This is
nothing
very true.
Nothing made sense in the 80s.
Jordan Jumpman silhouette shorts or pants? What?
Yeah, you know the Nike Michael Jordan symbol.
He's wearing shorts.
He's not anymore.
He's wearing pants under his shorts.
It's just pants now. But yeah, like you, a lot of people remember that emblem having shorts.
Huh. Okay.
Huh.
See,
normally, now I'm not just trying to act like I'm smart, because we all know I'm not. But the most of the Mandela effects that people point out, I'm like, I end up remembering, like the Shazam Shaq one, the mm-hmm. one where it's like, I remembered that correctly because I had a lot of weird tie-ins to that movie as a kid. But these new ones that you're bringing up, I'm on the wrong side of these, and it feels kind of weird.
Well, my wife is actually a perfect example because she's not into this stuff at all. Like when I start talking about Mandela effects, she's like, just wake me when you're done. Wake me up when you're done.
Hold on. When did she say that, Brian?
I'm trying to wake you up right now.
Right. But I told her, I said, hey, do you remember Stouffer's stovetop stuffing? And she's like, yeah, I used to eat it all the time as a kid. We ate it all the time. I said, no, you didn't. There was never such a thing.
She got me with that too.
She said, you're absolutely wrong. I guarantee. My mom used to make it all the time. We loved it in our house. I said, nope, it's made by Kraft. She said, no, it's not. And I had her freaked out. She's like, oh my God, This is so weird.
My whole life is like, a lie.
Yes, I did it. I broke her with a Mandela effect.
Brilliant. Because
you got me with that too. I thought it was real.
The aim of any husband in life, Bri, is to break their wife's brain. That was really helpful.
Yeah, that's a healthy relationship.
I mean
yeah.
that in a loving way, and she knows that.
I have no idea what Stouffer's stove... Well, I didn't have any idea what Stouffer's stovetop stuffing
yeah,
was.
Yeah,
other than a bit of alliteration.
Stouffer. Yeah, we had to kind of explain it to you, but it probably is more like an American thing, I'd guess.
I feel like there were jokes and skits about it in
various commercials
things.
And yeah. There was like jingles and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
But it was Kraft.
It's Kraft. Apparently,
Stouffer's stovetop stuffing is the only Stouffer's product I was aware of, and it doesn't even exist.
Correct.
I know I now know that they make other things, but I was not aware of that until then.
Same. Yeah. I was, that's when I started digging into more of these Mandela effects 2022 when I read that.
That's so wild. Yeah. So. The jump man, I couldn't have told you. Honestly, I
could have sworn he was wearing shorts.
I figured Richard would know because he's, you know, kind of bigger into that sort of stuff. But
the two that really get me, firstly, Star Wars, shut down all the garbage mashers or trash compactors. I think he says shut down all the garbage mashers. I think trash compactors.
It's trash compactors.
It's actually garbage mashers.
It's garbage mashers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, when you look up videos on YouTube, there's a ton
of
them.
Trash compactor
scene.
They
all reference trash compactors.
Yeah. Shut down all the garbage mashers on level 14 or whatever it is.
Yeah. None of them reference garbage mashers.
That's probably because that one I can kind of understand because nobody calls it over here anyway. No one calls it a garbage masher.
No one calls it a garbage masher over here. Okay, they don't exist over here. They're called bins.
They used a weird word there.
Yeah.
And so everybody just automatically turned it into the word they normally use.
Did they, though?
See, they did. Maybe, that makes sense.
Maybe,
nobody,
I mean,
who calls it a garbage masher? Have you ever heard anybody call it a garbage masher? No, it's always called a trash compactor is what they what you say. And so we just switched that because, like, I don't know.
Could be. I mean, I'm sure that makes perfect sense.
But okay.
I don't remember it enough to have an opinion on that one.
The music side, though, Bri... Britney Spears, Baby One More Time, definitely was wearing a tartan skirt. I'm sure of it.
I remember a plaid skirt. I thought
same
that. I
sort that's of
a different,
deal, right?
That's a different music video, I think.
Well, we've just proved who the biggest expert on Britney Spears videos is, and it's neither me nor Brian. So, yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, looks like actually,
he
now
fed
I think
into
about
our
it,
trap.
It was kind of an off kind of a dark gray and a little line on the one side.
Okay, yeah. You guys got to remember. You guys have to remember how old I am.
Oh, yes, the
Britney
child.
Britney Spears in the early 2000s was like, I was like, well, I do like women.
that's so good.
It's like like you guys as Farrah Fawcett, you know?
How do you think I am? Jeez.
I mean, you're about that old, right?
Yeah, she's a little beyond my age. I'm trying to think. I was probably Alyssa Milano. Maybe, no.
No, Alyssa Milano was still, that was
Brian,
late 90s,
don't
early
lie
2000s
to me.
Too.
You're the same age as me, roughly. It was Linda Carter in Wonder Woman. It was definitely Farrah Fawcett in The Fall Guy. I'm sure she was in The Fall Guy.
I was too young then. I was too young. When The Fall Guy was on, I was just a little kid.
Oh, I was advanced. At 8 years old, I had a crush on Farrah Fawcett, for
sure. Did you? No, I was playing in my space shuttle. So.
Well, I'm not really sure how to respond to that.
Remember my space shuttle that we built out of plywood as a kid?
Yep,
anyway,
yep,
that goes back 100 or so episodes. The screen painting, because you and I had a long conversation about that artwork, the screen painting.
Painting.
The famous
Edvard Munch's screen painting, which is actually a picture of a dog if you look at it really. But
a scream.
Yeah.
I said screen.
Sorry, scream.
Got it, got it.
He's wearing a bracelet, a gold bracelet.
I don't remember a bracelet.
I don't either. Neither does the rest of the world.
Well, but that is wrong.
I mean, that one I couldn't have told you definitively. I don't remember a bracelet, but I'm mostly fixated on his face. So I can be forgiven for not remembering the bracelet. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that just about wraps up this week's Mandela Effect update.
No, that was a fun dive. That was more fun than usual because most of them I'm like, No, it was the Berenstain Bears. And everyone's like, no! Like, no, it really was. It really was. And it was definitely Shaq in that movie.
See, I think it's because you've either you've crossed over from a different dimension or we have. One or the other.
Maybe. But I'm with you on the Stofers.
Because according to ChatGPT, the theory of quantum physics and multiple dimensions is entirely possible. We just can't test it yet.
Well, that I do agree with, actually. Because well, I'm educated.
Hold on. Hold on, chaps. And I know at least one of our tone group members is a ex-nuclear physicist. Did you guys read that the US announced that they've got one stage further to creating some kind of fusion energy that is...
Yeah, that actually generates more electricity than it uses. Yeah.
I mean, think about what that's going to do for our guitar pedal labels.
Huge.
I mean, we're going to have to write 9 to 18 trillion volts on each one, right, just in case.
And we have to get prepared for the emails that come in. Does this come with its own nuclear reactor? No, I'm sorry. You'll have to buy that separate.
You'll have to buy that separately. I mean, how cool would that be, though? That would solve a lot of issues. It'd probably create some new
free
ones.
Energy. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I'm just trying to think if Exxon's going to allow that to happen. Let me think here. Probably not.
Well, it will never be free, unfortunately.
Well, because there's a way to make money off something that is free. Of course, it's going to happen.
They're going to definitely commoditize it somehow. But I bet it can. In any case, if they get it there. You know, just being sort of pessimistic about it. Right. I bet it's cheaper, though. At least it'll be cheaper.
Hopefully. I mean, after we did start selling water when it's free, you know, so.
That's true.
I was literally just thinking, does nobody remember the kind of Evian is naive, backwards scandal of the 1980s when they're all just like, you're paying how much for a bottle of something that literally falls from the sky?
Right.
And now it's normal.
Yeah. Like you drink it from the sink? What?
Well, so I don't know about... I've become a water snob, not with bottled water so much, but more with when I travel places, one of the first things I do is taste to see what their water tastes like. Because we have really delicious water here out of the tap. So
water doesn't taste of anything, though. That's the whole point.
No, water has taste.
Water's got taste.
If your water's
especially
got
if you go
taste,
to Anaheim
you have problems.
And you can drink the worst water on the planet.
It's the minerals and stuff in it that's given because of the taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not water. Areas. That's crud. I'm just going to let you know.
Different areas have different...
If there's no minerals, then it's distilled.
And that's water for you.
No, you don't have distilled water coming out of your tap. You don't.
Isn't that normal in America?
No. Oh,
we got to remember, Brian, Britain's like 24 square miles, so all the water tastes the same there.
That's true, yes. Mm-hmm.
Stop exaggerating. It's 28. wow, yes, free water. So I thought about this. I mean, I'm sure someone has sold packaged oxygen. Bri, this is what we're going to start selling this Christmas. Packaged tone. We're going to sell like literally mojo in a bag. Mm. Just a
like
bag
that.
Of... And we'll set it by, like, depends how long you need it for. You need an hour of mojo? That's going to be a small bag. You need 3 hours? That's a
sack. We have the connections to make this happen. This is a great idea, Richard. Because we could tap it. I could go to Brad Paisley, like, Brad, I just need you to breathe into, like, 10 of these bags.
Yeah.
This is the Brad Paisley signature model of tone mojo.
I just need you to huff into this bag for a minute. Right. He's like, wait a minute. Is there gold paint in that bag? What's going on right now?
That's it, though. We're going to sell bagged tone. I'm going to start it now.
You're writing the website as we speak.
Remember, we did talk about where GPT we farm the mojo from, right? We've got to farm the mojo from... We've got to import it because the
US ours is responsibly sourced mojo. Ours is ethically sourced mojo.
Is it free range?
Free range Indiana goats
organic?
Mojo.
Is it organic?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I want to know that mojo's name, but, you know, I want to know where it grew up, and I want to know that it was responsibly harvested.
I can make that. I mean, I can find that stuff out for you. That's no problems. speaking of mojo, I see that JHS have just released a Rangemaster for not a cheap price, but its USP, was that it came with the original hand sifted, because I think they had thousands and they got 750 out of the thousands.
Yeah, you can't use them all. You have to go
black glass transistors.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this, Bri. What is a black glass transistor? Is it a transistor made of glass that is black?
I don't know if they're actually made of glass. Yeah, I guess they would be made of glass, I think. Right? I don't. I mean, you're asking some stuff that I don't dive it down into. Like, I don't.
I can't remember if they're actually glass or not.
I don't know. I mean, if they look glassy. Glass inside or not?
They
it could
look
be
glassy.
As an insulator.
Yeah.
But I mean, basically germanium, right? So there's different types of germanium transistors. This is one of the popular types to make boosters and fuzzes out of. But the tolerances are all over the place with germanium. So you have to go through and say, all right, well, these will sound better for the type of circuit that I want in my guitar pedal. Because some of them will just be too noisy or they'll drift too far. Like all kinds of things happen with germanium, which is why we use silicon now, because it doesn't have those properties. It's much more stable. And
right. And it's germanium transistors that are affected by temperature. Am I correct? Or is that germanium?
Well, technically right?
Everything is affected by temperature. But for our use as guitar players, like if it's in the sun or whether it's in the cold, it's not going to be a big difference. Now, if you're on a, spacecraft, you got to start looking at things like, what each part, what temperature ranges it is and that sort of thing. And that's like when you see 4558 op amps, they'll always have like different letters after it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all different kinds of letters. And a lot of that stuff is different tolerances. Like, well, can this be used in like extreme freezing conditions or extremely hot conditions and that sort of thing. But for an overdrive circuit, you generally don't care. It doesn't make a difference in the guitar tones.
I care.
Well, okay. Apparently a lot of JHS customers cares because it sold out in like 7 minutes.
But that's great. I mean, I think that's awesome. If I'm Josh in Josh's shoes, I think that's awesome.
I would take a pint of that any day, of course. But
sure.
Weird.
It seems like it's a collector thing, though. Like,
I think so.
It's like, you know what? It's a limited number. I'm going to buy these and I'm going to flip them and make a profit. Hmm.
There's some of that, but like, admittedly, I don't need this at all. But I have like an Ibanez 8900 coming with the original two chips.
What do you mean you don't need it? You absolutely need it.
Well, yeah, and I got a DD2 and a DD3 coming.
Mm.
Not because I have any shortage of digital delay pedals, but because I want these original interesting versions just because I'm a collector of guitar pedals. So I do understand the collector mentality to a degree because I bought these for no reason other than I'm like, I don't have those and they're cool and they're in an interesting piece of guitar pedal history.
And I'm there with you, but like me personally, and this is, I'm not going to give an opinion on what I think when others do this, but I do see that there's a lot of people that will buy the pedal and immediately list it on Reverb.
That's
for like
$1,000. Yeah,
you know?
That's annoying.
So that's...
So what you're saying though, Blake, is if you... limit the numbers of a pedal, it will sell quicker. Did we mention that the Tumnus is limited to 450,000 a year? get them now before they run out.
I mean, the idea with the Tumnus was to take something that you couldn't get available anywhere very easily anywhere else for an inexpensive amount and bring it to the masses. No.
It is an interesting play. I will say a couple of things. One, same color as the Moxie, so it looked great next to a Moxie pedal.
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two, I like boosts. I think I still prefer, no disrespect to Josh, but I think I still prefer my Brian May Range Master clone because it has Brian May written on it, and it makes me feel good.
Well, you know, something I was telling Richard about this morning, Blake, is that, and I hope this isn't the case, but I do kind of worry for Josh's sake, and that's that there's so many people, especially who, like, a lot of companies kind of have their core types of customers, and if Josh's customer, his typical customer is a Kemper user or a Fractal user or something like that. If you start using a treble boost into that, like you would an amplifier, it's going to be two different things. Because into an amplifier, you're pushing that amp into dirt and it sounds glorious. When you start pushing a digital unit and distorting the analog to digital converters, not so great, not so good, not so good.
Right. And it is, you know,
I'm guessing most of Josh's people are tube amp people.
You're guessing. Yeah,
I don't know. So I know they have a lot of praise and worship users. And I mean, I don't know that market too awful well. So maybe, I think, because I know Travis plays some praise and worship stuff. I think that there's a good amount that probably play through digital modeling.
That's true. Units. Yeah, that world does a lot of that. So
I've got to say, because I nearly was in a band recently, but it seems to have fallen apart before it even started.
Welcome to every band. Yes, you are in a band. That's how it goes.
That's how it works.
It's the circle, and then it just continues. Somebody,
but you're a drummer, so you're in like four bands, right?
Well, no, I don't. But anyhow, I was thinking, if it does take off, I'm going to buy a floor. I'm going to buy like a Helix Stomp or something, because I'm not going to take all my pedals with me. No, no one cares. No one cares what I play for if I'm gigging.
You do.
It's all about you, though.
Yeah, I know. Once I get like more than three people listening to me, then I might break out the metaverse. That's when the joy. Oh, and by the way, I'm just going to let you guys know, I played in stereo again this weekend.
That's the way.
I did not leave my room for like 2 hours. I was like, oh, what? Yes, Blake is right.
And that's what happens when you start playing in stereo. You go in about 6 o'clock at night and you come out, you're like, 3 a.m.
And you're like, where did I go? I was gone.
Letter here? Hold on. Dear John.
The kids and I have went to mom's. You stopped coming out of your room and you have not showered in days.
Your dog is in the bin. Your dinner is on fire.
I saw a video where the guy comes home. And he walks in his garage and he's got his fold up bench press is folded up against the wall, and there's a note pinned to it. And it said, sorry, this just isn't working. And he takes the note and he's like, huh. And then he puts the note down and he folds the bench down, tilts it up. This works just fine. She's going to feel so stupid when I go tell her.
So I started doing something. I kind of stumbled on it with stereo amps, but using it differently.
Uh-oh.
And so I was using my Vox AC-15, which I love the sound of, but it's not a lot of bottom end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this may not work with a band, but at least for playing, it sounds great. And I'm like, what happens if I take an amp that's pretty bass heavy, like, like a deluxe reverb or a twin or something like that, but I turn the treble all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn the bass and mids, like bass up all the way, mids up quite a bit until the treble starts coming in. So basically it's just real woofy, real dull sounding. And then I just slowly like tweak that volume up until it adds bottom end to that Vox.
Yeah. You're talking my language.
It's so good. It's so amazing. But there's a trick. If you do that, you have to reverse the polarity of one amp or the other because they're out of phase with each other. It doesn't do the stereo thing like if you have delays and stuff, but it just makes a huge mono sound basically.
Yeah.
So
that's a fun one. I do that in recording a lot.
Right.
I'll play around with.
Have you just invented the non-rotating rotating Leslie speaker? I think you have. I think the fixed Leslie horn.
I'm going to call this the mono univibe.
That's brilliant. The only problem with my stereo setup is my amps are too close together and they're at right angles to each other. So it kind of sounds beautiful, but weird. I need a bigger room and I need more amps. Bri, can you fix both of these things for me?
Yes. So step one is to use ChatGPT and ask it where you can sell your house for the quickest and where you can buy another house that's mm-hmm. larger the quickest.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step.
Yeah.
Yes. I think ChatGPT has taken over. So the Rangemaster, because I've got the Brian May one. It isn't a clean boost by any stretch of the imagination. That's adding dirt to the path.
Maybe if you turn it down, I forget what the gain control is on that.
Yeah, but then do you have to turn down quite a lot before you're not hearing any gain?
Before it distorts?
Yeah. It's light.
Let me look at the schematic again.
It's honking. That's how I would describe it. It honks your tone.
Okay, so the control is just a bias control on it, which is going to act as a volume.
The old tone honker.
Yeah, so it's gonna distort pretty easily. Yeah.
I think that's what we should call people who listen to this show, tone honkers. it's the greatest club ever. We can make a tone honker badge.
Join the chasing tone honkers.
That's next to my second great idea this week, to do a sister podcast all about laser printers called Chasing Toner. It's got to be done.
I'm sure that'll the world of laser printers is just
It's a very interesting world, Blake. You've got toners, you've got fusers, you've got paper.
We kind of take it for granted, though, but printers are...
Just saying.
What?
Printers are actually pretty complicated. There's a lot going on in a printer, and they've become so ubiquitous, we're just like, yeah, it's a printer. But they're pretty cool.
Personally, I prefer my printers to use 1975 transistors from the Kyosho Corporation. I find it prints a much more true paper than the modern printer.
True bypass printing.
True bypass printing. You can almost not see the print at all. It's so true bypass.
Well, I'm sure there's probably a market in there for boutique printers. You know?
You're right. Boutique hand-biased printers with like fancy graphics on them and everything.
Exactly.
This is my new business. I mean, there's a whole business around fancy gaming computers with, you know, enough LED lights to land a small plane and enough fans to become a small plane.
right. To actually create lift, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I need to invent the gaming printer. Wow. Bro, we're on a roll tonight. We've got the gaming printer. I don't know what else
we've got. Mojo.
Oh, Mojo in a bag. Oh,
yeah, yes. Mojo in a bag.
Write these down real quick. I just want to make sure I don't.
We're going to release a new Range Master clone. We're going to call it the Josh Master. Is that right? We should do that as a Christmas gag. We should release all of Josh's pedals in one pedal, call it the Josh Master.
And you could do it like he did the Bonsai, where you can select different Joshes. You got Happy Josh, Sad Josh, Angry Josh.
I think I'm
going to
make
this. I have the Box Josh.
Yeah. I think I'm going to make the Josh Master. I think that would be a nice little Christmas gift to our good friend over there in, is it Ohio he is?
No, that's Earthquaker.
Kansas City.
Kansas. Mm-hmm. I know something about Kansas.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Missouri, actually, because Kansas City is on the border, so it could be
I don't know anything about Kansas.
Yeah. It is in Missouri, if I remember correctly. When I went there, the weirdest thing was, like, I knew that Kansas City, Missouri and Kansas City, Kansas were, you know, two different places, but I didn't realize that they were, like, are kind of the same city.
Right.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
The border of the state literally splits the city.
Yeah. If you look at a map, it's like goes through.
So it is the same place. If I go to Kansas City, Missouri, and say, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto, technically, I am correct.
Yes. And it's funny because each state has different liquor laws. So if you go to one side, like, you can't buy during certain hours, but you go to the other and then you can. It's like, bizarre.
Fine, I'll just go across the street then.
That's exactly what I did.
Has anyone yet created a kind of liquor train that just goes around in a circle?
The Kansas City liquor train?
That timed perfectly to just sell liquor whenever it's legal to the other place. it's idea number three, Bri. I'm definitely on a roll tonight.
Oh, my God. If you aren't rich by New Year's, then you're doing something wrong.
That's right. With all these ideas.
I'm definitely not going to be rich by New Year's. I've just seen my credit card bill. I have a bit of a frog on the throat. I apologize. Before we get on to some serious stuff, I'm just going to mention this. There's a new documentary on Netflix about some people who used to be in a royal family. It's really bad. I was made to watch it by one of our listeners, and he knows who he is, and he knows what he's done wrong. but the thing that really got me was the music, guys. They used the most saccharine music everywhere, and I had to turn it off. I just, it was the, why do they have to always pick like really soulful, like piano solo pieces for whenever anyone's talking about their past troubles? Please just put a banjo in and make me happy. That would have been so much better. Right, rant over. I'm done.
Well, before we end the episode, I do need to address something, because I've answered several of these questions now, and I thought, you know, it'd be cool is to actually just tell everybody this.
Okay.
So we're talking about the Triumph, right? Our little Bad Monkey Boss SD-1 type overdrive. And it has an active bass and mids on it. So think of like an EQ pedal. It's not exactly like an EQ pedal, but think of like an EQ pedal where it's in the center. It's pretty much neutral, not affecting the frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I get a lot of questions like, what are some suggested settings for this? And that's an impossible thing for me to answer, because I'm like, well, if you're like, let's say that you're playing guitar through your amp and you're like, wow, this is really bass heavy. Well, then I would suggest turning the bass down. And kind of the same thing, like if you have like, wow, this is too many mids in this, probably I'm going to suggest turning the mids down. So that's why I don't like doing suggested settings on like simple overdrives and stuff, because it just, it depends so much on what you want, what guitar and amp you're using and everything else, you know?
Well, yeah, I was playing, and also, it totally depends. Your tuning, what, like everything matters. I was playing a fuzz pedal the other day, and I cranked the tone control all the way to its maximum trebliness because I was playing my 8-string. And it sounded like mud if I didn't do that.
Yeah.
But that would have sounded terrible on my regular 6-string.
Yeah.
So it totally varies.
So it just depends entirely on the rig, man.
Mm-hmm.
So
basically,
anyways,
turn the knobs until it sounds good to you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can't suggest where to put the gain or the tone or the treble. I mean, it just all depends. Like,
I put the level?
Right. I mean, where do you want the level at? Do you want it at unity? Do you want a little
bit of volume
boost?
I want it where you
boost?
Put it.
Well, I want to
put
it around.
I want to put it just like you. I want to be like you. I want to be you. Can I wear your skin?
No, but you can have my bills, though. I will gladly let you pay my bills.
Could you imagine if you did have a Brian Wampler skin suit, though, Blake? That would be... I mean, that would be scarier than Leatherface. And look, bro, we have to stop talking about this. Brian has hypersensitivity and he's going to start thinking about it and it's going to make him cry. We need to say thank you to people now.
All right, well, I think we have a new reverb.
We have a new reverb?
We have a new reverb customer.
Bri, don't spill the beans.
So we have a new executive producer that I don't see on here, so I may have to add that in. All right, so Bill Bays, Jake Young from Man the Helm Podcast, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frosted, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, DJ Patty F, Dylan Talks Tone, Strand, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Felicity who makes annoying memes, Tom Kelly, Pigsy who sent us a nice email last week, thank you, Zebo, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from Poison Noises, The Flying Dutchman, Nick Spano, which we incorrectly pronounced a few weeks ago as Spano, I think, but it's actually Spano.
I thought it was Spano.
Is it Spano? Well, maybe I'm mispronouncing it.
No, it's Spano. It's Spano.
It is Spano?
Yeah.
Or is it Spano? Well, we need to.
No, it's Spano.
It is Spano.
I read, yes, it's Spano.
Okay.
You read the email.
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. And if I don't know who you are this week, then I either add it in or I'll tell your name next week. So,
I found it.
You did.
I'm in here.
Who's our newest executive producer?
It looks like maybe they changed their name. 6 feet removed. And they've been for a minute, so I don't know how that missed the notifications, but 6 feet removed is in there. We're making sure we didn't miss anybody else.
Well, 6 feet removed. Thank you so much. If we missed your name in the past, I'm sorry. I'll repeat it a few times now to help hopefully make up for it. 6 feet removed.
Whilst looking in a mirror, you might call them. Be like Bloody Mary. Oh, I watch too much horror. Let's get out of here.
What? All right. We'll see you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, email info@tonemob.com. And Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts, and also check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. Make sure to check out wamplerpedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.